Zu Beginn ein kleiner Hinweis in eigener Sache. Es sind noch ein paar Maximum Beach Volleyball Caps im Mandahari Store vorhanden. Also wenn ihr da noch nicht zugeschlagen habt, dann ab dahin. Link findet ihr in der Beschreibung und unterstützt mich, indem ihr bei Mandahari eine Maximum Cap kauft. Übrigens, ich wurde häufig gefragt nach Curved-Versionen von dieser Cap. Norman hat es in Timmendorf ausprobiert und man kann den Schirm eigenständig so biegen, dass aus der Cap eine Curved Cap wird. Also, wer Bock auf Curved hat, einfach die Cap kaufen. Man kann die wirklich richtig gut wieder dahin biegen, dass es dann nachher mit dem gebogenen Schirm am Ende ist. Wenn ihr mich anders noch unterstützen wollt, könnt ihr auch gerne bei PayPal spenden. Das hilft auch immer sehr. Den Link dazu findet ihr auch in der Beschreibung. Außerdem bei iTunes Rezensionen dalassen, bei Spotify folgen, bei Instagram reinfolgen. Und dann helft ihr mir sehr, sehr, damit das alles so weitergehen kann. Also jetzt viel Spaß mit der Folge mit Wilco. Wieder in gewohnt guter Qualität und ganz ohne rote Augen.
There's about 13,000 German fans in there. Loving this atmosphere.
Herzlich willkommen, liebe Beachvolleyball-Welt, zu Folge 23 von Maximum Beachvolleyball. Mein Name ist Max Behlen, ich befinde mich in Kiel und heute haben wir einen besonderen Gast, weil wir diese Podcast-Folge auf Englisch aufzeichnen werden. Und das ist der Gründer, Macher und Erfinder von King of the Court, Wilco Nyland. Hello Wilco, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So let's start by finding out where you are exactly and if you're, because you had the two King of the Courts this last week's, if you're on vacation right now or if you're still working.
No, I'm still working. Actually, I'm in my house. The kids are at bed at the moment and the wife is out for playing sports. So I'm here in the living room talking with you, yeah.
Nice. Sports? Is she a volleyball player by any chance or different sports?
No, she's playing field hockey.
Is there going to be a King of the Court field hockey event? Is that possible? No, I don't think so.
She proposed it to her teammates, but their opinion was too much running.
Yeah, that's way too much probably.
Yeah.
So nice. So, but which place? I guess you're in the Netherlands, but yeah. which city?
I live close to Utrecht. Utrecht is our home city. And we live in a small suburb, 5 minutes by train from Utrecht.
And Utrecht was also the starting point of King of the Court, right? That's a good transition to our first question or topic. So maybe you can tell us a little bit how it all started and how you had the idea and did the first event.
Yeah, you're right. As Utrecht is our home city, my company is based in Utrecht now for over 12 or 13 years. So we know a lot of people over here playing volleyball myself, playing beach volleyball myself over here. So we know the community. And in 2016, I organized for the first time the Dutch National Tour. And one, we started with that in Utrecht with a kind of test event for that stop. And we had one evening available in the week before. So I played King of the Court beach volleyball with all my friends. I think not all of them were friends because we were with 30 people. But there was one rule. You have to drink beer when you are in the waiting line. So if you came from the king side to the place to surf, you must drink one glass of beer. And then we played that for one evening and it was so much fun. And then I told it to the director of the Dutch Volleyball Federation, Michel Everaert. And I said to him, we played that King of the Court game with the friends and it was great. And he said, yeah, think about a kind of real discipline with more teams, because maybe that will have a chance. So then I started to think about the rules. I looked at the Formula One racing when you have that elimination part in qualification. And then I changed it a little bit with the King of the Court rules and with beach volleyball. And then in 2017, I remember the date, the 14th of June, We organized the first test event with five international teams, and it was kind of a milestone.
So only one court, one round, and it worked out.
Yeah, it was five teams, one team from Brazil. It were Simon and Alvaro, just winning, I think, Huntington Beach the year before. I don't know. Brouwer Meeuwsen, Varenhorst van Garderen from the Netherlands, Casey Patterson with Theo Brunner from the United States, and my dear friends Samoilov Smedins from Latvia. And we were in there indeed one round, 1 hour, let's say 1 hour, three rounds in the city center of Utrecht. And we only sent out some WhatsApp messages to friends. And 1,500 people showed up.
Oh, that's a lot of friends.
Via. You,
but I heard, I think Sam Olofs told me this, that was on the same place where it is right now, but without a stadium, right? So you have these steps at the central station in Utrecht, right?
I think.
Or was that the next year?
Yeah, it was next year. This was a smaller location, but it was very close. Yeah.
And did you have like a vision in mind that it might become something bigger, or was that just an experiment that worked out quite well?
Yeah, it was an experiment. I just want to test how the public will react and how the players were reacting, and those two, let's call them stakeholders, were directly extremely enthusiastic, like audience and players. And from that moment onwards, I thought, this is interesting. Let's continue this project.
So it was really you that, because you're always called the founder and I don't know, maker, creator of this format, but this was you, really your idea after all.
Yeah, it's, look, King of the Court is a training exercise we all know. Huh?
Yeah.
And then I stole the rules for elimination from Formula One. And together with the players in 2018, we also created some extra rules. So,
like what?
For instance, the surfing rules. From my perspective, I don't want to have from the beginning that each missed surf is directly a point, because then nobody's going to surf maximum, and I want to have that maximum surf. But it was at the end. Let's say at the end of each round, a missed surf was still not a point. So in the first tournaments, when you don't want to go to the king side, or you don't want to have the other team a point, they were surfing the ball out of the stadium, and they want to save some extra time. So yeah, those things we need to talk about with everyone. And at the end, you come to some rules, and now we have like 2.5 pages with rules. So
yeah, it's a lot.
It's okay. No, actually, it's not a lot, because when you compare it to regular beach volleyball, it's a full book.
A book, right? Yeah. That's true. But you take some of that to use, like the court and stuff. So you don't need to write that down.
That's correct.
Especially. So, but there was some rules that were added or changed this year, right?
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
The first thing what we changed was that in the last minute, each missed serve is a point. We did it because we don't want teams to give too much or too easy points to each other. And the other thing what we changed was that we have three missed serves in a row for the full round, because sometimes they were serving like six times missed because they did a maximum serve, or they didn't want to give somebody else a chance to start the rally. So yeah, this worked quite well.
So that's because then it's not very interesting to watch, right? When there's like six, or not to play also, because
if you have
first side out ball after six serves, it's not very nice.
Yeah, it's correct. Yeah, because when you are with three teams playing, then it's also sometimes a kind of chess game. Like if you want to give them the chance to play a rally, yes or no. Because the stakes are high when you are with three. So that was one of the reasons. And the other thing what we added was after 10 minutes of play, we have a 1 minute break.
And how was the feedback of the players for that rule? Because it seemed it was very necessary, this break.
Yeah, they were happy with it. Huh? Because it's always, it's look, king of the court. You can, especially when you are with three teams, it's a lot of transition all the time. But also for fans and for the announcer, they can explain to the audience in the stadium or on television what the current status is and where to focus on in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's really good, especially because my feeling is that this format also attracts people that don't usually consume beach volleyball. Is that also your feeling?
Yeah, it's the feedback what we got from those people who saw it for the first time is that they like the speed in the game and they understand the game quite quick. Like, okay, one side to score and the other side always serving. And if you show them regular beach volleyball afterwards, they see, oh, wow, it's a big difference. But I always want to say I'm not against regular beach volleyball. Eh? I play regular beach volleyball every week myself. So yeah. I love it. Yeah.
And what we also notice is that it's you try to do it more like an event where a lot of things happening, like acts in the breaks. Was that also the plan? Did you, I don't know, dislike that with the regular beach volleyball, that it's not that there's not so much things happening at the same time?
In beach volleyball, if you compare beach volleyball to other sports, at the Olympics, beach volleyball is awarded for the last four times as the best watching or experienced sport because there's a lot of entertainment in the stadium when the rally is not going on, because then you have to
like
wait.
The music and the DJs.
Yeah, the music and the DJs, and that's the thing what people like. But it was my goal to create something which is like a full night out, something like that, with your friends, and which is more than only watching beach volleyball. So we have, we added a lot of entertainment.
Yeah, and also like a very nice service in your stadium in Utrecht, because I was there last year. You can order right to your box. That's an upside to that, of course.
I think that was the benefit of the COVID period, that we need to change something, and we created that stadium where everybody has their own skybox. You're right. You can only leave your skybox when you have to go to the toilet. And if you want to order something, your food, drink, or your merchandise, you scan your QR code and it will be delivered in your box.
So I heard, I think Louis told that to us in the stream, that you plan to take the stadium with you for the stops, maybe. So just not for Utrecht.
Yeah, it worked so good with that stadium. And we were the first one with, let's call it the vertical stadium, with the vertical stands. And we were the first one, and we are very happy that in Vienna they copied our idea to make it even better and bigger. But this stadium, and we saw it last week again, the atmosphere is so good, even when there are like 750 people inside, which is not a lot, but at the end it feels that you are with 3,000 or maybe 5. So yeah, we really want to see where we can build up the stadium and use it more.
So will there also be more stops next year? So were you like every week or something, or what's your plan for the coming year?
For the coming year, for 2022, we plan on 4 or 5 stops. And we also planning if we can bring our stadium and mix it with other sports. Because at the moment in Utrecht, our stadium is here for 1 month. Last week, we had a padel tennis tournament. Worked out extremely good. We will have this week some music musicians performing. Next week, street soccer, and afterwards, 3-on-3 basketball. So it's a quite good urban sport and entertainment / music stadium.
Yeah, it works not just for beach volleyball, of course. Does it also help to finance this carrying the stadium around if you like rent it out to other sports?
Yeah, I think I'm always a fan of cooperation, always. And with this, we can help each other when you have like 3 weeks or maybe 4 weeks that stadium in a city. It's better for all the events because they will profit from the infrastructure and make their event better. Like what we had last week with that padel tennis tournament, without that stadium, they could not afford a kind of decent stadium. Now they rent that stadium from us for 5 days. And normally they have to pay like six times more to build that stadium, which is impossible for them. So it's a benefit for all participations, actually.
Yeah. Sounds cool. I can imagine for a city, it's really cool to have that kind of opportunity all the time. So you were in Hamburg this year for the first time with King of the Court. What is your overall opinion about this tournament that we had there?
I'm very satisfied. I'm really satisfied. And shall I explain why?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Elaborate.
The first thing is Hamburg is, from my perspective, one of the best beach volleyball cities in Europe. All the big tournaments were there. So there are a lot of beach volleyball fans. But mainly it was always for free to watch beach volleyball. And from my perspective, you cannot watch for free a show. Because it's a kind of business model as well. So the thing that nearly 10,000 people paid for a ticket, that's for me a big plus. The other thing is that 4 weeks before the tournament started, we were only allowed to have 650 people per day in the stadium because of COVID. So over 10,000 seats, but only 650 people per day. That was the reason why we decided together with the DVS, with David Klemperer, to have some higher prices for those 650.
Yeah.
And then we were allowed to go up to maximum like 4,000. So we were very happy that we were like 2,500 a day, which is good for something new in COVID times. Because I also heard that in the same week there was a soccer match of, I think it was Hannover, 96. Jawohl, ich spreche ein klein bisschen Deutsch. And there were 22,000 spectators allowed, but only 7,000 came because people said, yeah, we're not ready for events. So if you take all those things in consideration in a time we're organizing it with something new, and the atmosphere, which was there in the stadium, and the fans, they, or let's say the audience, if they walked out of the stadium, I saw with like 99% a big smile on their face because they had a great day or a great evening. And that's, it's the first time.
That's what counts for you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
What kind of feedback did you get from the players or any people around?
Of course, I was asking a lot of people for feedback. And I'm always honest and open for feedback. I think most of the players liked the concept a lot. A couple of them also said that maybe it was not a good combination to make it part of the ranking.
German ranking?
Yeah, the German ranking. It makes sense. Yeah, it was also a test. I don't think it was a lot of big changes for the teams. But I understand that maybe it was better to think more about it. But at the end, it was okay, I think. Other feedback was like, I think it's normal, but it's not realistic. Like people said, why the stadium is not full? Because the last time over here, it was fully sold out. And I said, no, it was not fully sold out. It was full. but it was only one day in German beach volleyball history that there were so many people at the beach volleyball match. And it was because...
Which was the finals day because Tolle-Wickler were playing.
Yeah, and Tolle-Wickler, they could walk to the stadium because they are from Hamburg. So that situation was not a good situation to compare now with us. It was completely new. It's like, it's COVID time. It's something different. But people were making that yeah, they will compare it. Like, why not? And then I thought, yeah, I will stay calm and explain it to them that you can. I told them, you cannot compare me to Lionel Messi. And then you're telling me that I'm a bad soccer player. Yeah, it's not fair to compare. So that's the thing. What I'm not going to do. I'm comparing it to what was allowed and the reaction of the fans, and it was extremely good, like in the stadium and also on television and live stream. So yeah, I'm very happy with that.
And are you so happy that you will come back to Hamburg?
Yeah, from the beginning, it was a project not to be there only for 1 year. We really want to come back. We had some good talks with the city. The feedback of the city was, it's like a saying, eh? They said, you paid us back double. So that was an excellent feedback from the city. In the next weeks, we will talk more about the next years. But I really think there's a big market for a King of the Court event in Germany, and especially also in Hamburg. So we go step by step what we can do. But there's a positive feedback and a good perspective for next year.
And then you will bring your stadium.
That's one of the options. Yeah.
Or would you consider coming back to Rotenbaum?
If it's the best for the city to do. We are open for it, but if you ask me honestly, I think the stadium is a little bit too big for beach volleyball events, actually. Like, if you saw it also in the last years, there was a lot of time that the second tier of seats was blocked, was covered.
Yeah, with a banner or something.
Yeah, with a banner. 10,000 seats occupied. They're not reaching it in the United States, huh? In Vienna, they reach it, but not many times. So I like the stadium a lot, and also the cooperation with the people was excellent. And if the city really wants us to be back over there, we will talk with them about it. But yeah, maybe it's not a bad idea to talk about building a stadium in the city center somewhere.
Yeah. There's enough room, I think, to do that. So we're very excited to hear that.
Yeah.
And it was maybe the first time that you had this combination of a national tournament with the King of the Court event with international teams. How did you like that? Because that might have been a test as well, right?
Yeah, it was a test. And I said in my speech to the German players that I have a lot of respect for them because it was not possible for them to give their opinion if they want this, yes or no. And I think in general, the feedback what I received from them was that they were very happy, that they liked it a lot. Of course, there are also a couple of players who said, yeah, it's not my type of game, or I need a little bit more time. Of course, we respect that. But the combination was very interesting, very good. Next time I will make some changes because it was maybe too much, to play 4 days in a row. If you also have to play some playoffs, etc. And then compare to the international players, they had a kind of more easy route to the final. So
what kind of changes would that be?
Yeah, I think.
Did you not think about that yet?
No, I think maybe we need to play in another system. If you want to play with 20 teams, play another system. Like now we play from 20 to 15 to 10 to 5, but maybe give the winners of the first round a bye for next round, something like that you go directly to the semifinals, something like that.
Okay, because I think now you played the usual system that the international teams usually play, that they didn't play this time because it was only 15 teams, but that one. So, okay. But that would that also be an idea for different countries, different tours, national tours to combine events like that?
For sure. Because a combination, it was really not bad. It was also good for the tournament that you had at least three national let's say, home teams in the final day, which is also good. So I also like the fact that we have two finals. Like on Saturday, it was a final day, and on Sunday, a final day. So there were really a lot of positive points. But we need to focus also on the bodies of the players. And for instance, Binek Snyder, they were also playing in Utrecht the week after. I can imagine that it was a lot for them, a lot, because they also have to play like from 20 teams to 15 to 10 and some playoffs. So don't underestimate if you need to play every day with two days break, can be a lot. So let's focus on that and let's see what's realistic for next time. And we have some good ideas, I think.
Who also played in Utrecht was Bennett and David Ponivac. How did you invite them to that?
I really like their style. They did a great job in Hamburg. And I, from my perspective, I thought they deserve it to play in Utrecht. And I had one spot left. So why not asking the guys? They did an excellent job in Hamburg. And we had a combination of tournaments, Hamburg, Utrecht, and then the finals. We already announced that the finals will be in Doha. And then I thought those guys, they did a so good job. Why not giving them a better chance to reach Doha? And the good thing was, or the good thing, it was the funny thing, because I told the guys, you can play. I have a spot for you. Directly, they said, yes, we want, but we have a problem, because one was preparing the bachelor party for the other on a Friday evening when they have to play in Utrecht. And,
which only one knew, of course.
Yes, right? Only one knew. So he has to explain to the other, I'm sorry, but if you're going to play Utrecht, you're going to miss your own bachelor party. What do you think about that? And then he said, no, we go. We take this opportunity. And with reactions like that, I have a lot of respect for those players. What I said, I like the guys, but then I have even more respect, because their feedback at the end was, because they reached the final in Utrecht, eh?
Yeah.
So they did a great job. And in the final, it was over because not too many chances.
Done, right?
They were done and other teams were better chances. But their feedback at the end was, thank you so much for this experience. It was way better than every bachelor party. So, I have the feeling, this is the reason why we are organizing this, to give chances and to make new friends and to use those possibilities for everyone.
They had fun a lot. They told me also they were really, really, really happy to play there. They didn't do so well at the German championship.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, I saw it, yeah.
Maybe their bodies were a little bit done after that, or just bad chances.
Yeah, do you think it was of the...
No, I don't think so.
No.
They are machines. Those two are absolute machines and they don't care. I don't think you can find any... two guys that can manage to play that and become German champions in the next week. So I don't think it was your fault at all.
No, totally not my fault. But I think it's always good to take a look at the physical part. Eh? But I think there was like they had five days of rest between those tournaments. So
yeah, that's okay, I think.
Yeah, I think so. They are young. I'm old, but they are young.
Well, not so young, but they can manage, I think.
What is their age? 28, something like that, right?
28, 29, something like that, 93. Born in 93. Yeah. So,
but let's call them young. Huh?
let's call them young. You talked about the final right there. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about what's happening with the final. And it's the first time there's a final, right?
Yeah, it's the first time. We were approached... I think half a year ago by a big sport complex in Qatar, the Aspire Zone. And it's like 2.5 kilometers by 2.5 kilometers with only sport facilities. They have their own hotels, they have their own restaurants, they have their own TV channel, they have their own everything. And it's one of the most beautiful places in Doha to go in the weekend for having fun, to recreate. There's a big park. And Beach volleyball is at the moment the second sport in Qatar, also because of Ahmed Intijan, that they had a very good streak in the last year, and it's great to have a good partner like that to host finals. So that was the reason why we said to them, yeah, let's organize something in December. We signed a 3-year deal with them for organizing events, and we're looking forward to it.
So organizing events, not finals. There's going to be a King of the Court event in Doha for the next 3 years. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, it can be that there might be a like an Asian Championships King of the Court. Can be possible. So not only finals, but we agreed with them some bigger tournaments. Yeah.
And how exactly do you qualify for those finals?
You can qualify for the finals to be in the top 10 of the two tournaments, the combined results of Hamburg and Utrecht. And if you are in the top 10, you will go to Doha, and we will add 5 more teams to that tournament.
Wild cards that you choose freely.
Yeah.
And you get into the top 10 of the two, but do you collect points or something, or how does it work?
Yeah, we used the points of a 5-star tournament, and we said that the number one, so the winner of the tournament, they can go directly to Doha.
Yeah.
You have to collect the points of those two tournaments.
And does it only work as like a team? Because there is always some combinations that are not like usual partners. So yeah. Do you have to go there as a team that plays in the tournament?
That's the idea. You go as a team, of course there will be some changes because there will also be some changes because it's the end of a period, like an Olympic route. So teams will be changed. But we said if you are together as a team, or if you want to play as a team because you earned it as a team, then you can go. Yeah.
Okay. Very, very interesting. And that's the plan for the next years also. So to always have a final, or is it just another test event?
If it
works, you'll continue.
No, we really want to have a final because I think it's good to have a final that you work towards a big tournament, because it's a good motivation also for them to be part of each event.
Yeah. And is it a problem that it's not like in the beach volleyball season at all? Or what kind of feedback did you get from the players? Because they usually work on some technical stuff in that period and then they have to go play a tournament.
Yeah. I think in the future we go towards a calendar with beach volleyball tournaments of 10 months a year. Yeah. We
as beach volleyball world... Not you with King
of
the
Court,
but everyone.
The beach volleyball world. And I know it was in the past. We had a tournament in the beginning of January indoor in the Netherlands in the last years.
In The Hague.
Yeah, right. In The Hague, yeah. So it's sometimes it's also good in your preparation period that you can play some tournaments. And maybe then King of the Court is really good for it because it's not that official. Let's say it like that. So it can be a good intermediate tournament to play in your preparation.
Maybe also to try out some things you practiced or will try in unusual tournaments. So
yeah.
That might be a good idea, yeah. And what's your plan for King of the Court in the future? Let's talk about big future. Where is it going? Where is it all going?
Yeah, I have dreams, but look, the thing is, everybody's always talking about Olympics. And I think, I don't know if that's the most important thing. For me, the most important thing is to have a sustainable tour with 5, 6, maximum 8 events per year. If we can add that to the beach volleyball worlds, everyone must be very happy because we add something new. We add a possibility for players to earn more money, for fans to watch more beach volleyball. And then we will see in which direction it will go. And now, after Hamburg and Utrecht, we realized again how good this product is. How many people liked it? The players liked it. There were even a couple of players told me, please, leave it like this. Don't make it official. Because
they told you this?
Yeah, sometimes they said, because we like the atmosphere. And if you are playing for really a lot of money or status, what kind of other things you are going to do in a game? Are you going to manipulate maybe? Of course, we thought about everything and we have already some extra rules for things, but I like the
comments.
There's
still possibilities to manipulate a little bit or play with a team theoretically, so...
Those things are quite hard. It's quite hard to make deals. Like, sometimes teams told each other, okay, if we are both playing in the same group, let's help each other that we can go both to the next round. It depends on the score. But there is one thing what you can do if you agree. If, for instance, two teams will go to the next round and both of them has a lot of points, the thing what you might do is just pass the ball to each other for 10 minutes. Don't drop it on the sand. Yeah.
But we didn't see that yet.
No,
right?
Of course
not. I don't think we will.
I don't think so. I also don't think so, because at the end, you need to split your prize money if you want to win it like that, because you don't have one winner. Yeah. Some players are thinking about those things, and it's always good to talk with them about it.
Yeah. But they told you, or some told you, that they want to leave it like this. Are there also people, or do you think there might be some points for that, or integrate it in the World Tour, or even make it Olympic? Is that a possibility?
I think there are always possibilities. You never know what the future brings. We have a good collaboration with the FIVB and Volleyball World. We are in good talks with them. We are an official FIVB product, an official discipline like that. So we will see which direction it will go. Maybe in 3 years from now, we are there in Paris. We have no idea. But on the other side, just go step by step, year by year, organize those tournaments, and we will see where it will go.
But would you like that personally? Because we had this situation with the German points this year. The opinions were very split, but a lot of people didn't like it that they had to, or they got points for that because it was so different. What's your personal opinion about that? Would you like to have them or not?
I think it's the best to have King of the Court points for King of the Court. But on the other side, if you go to the statistics, you always see that the best teams from the stats are in the top. And yeah, sometimes if you are not playing well, yeah, then you are eliminated. But if you're not playing well in a normal beach volleyball tournament, you're also out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that's a good answer, I think. So having King of the Court points for King of the Court might be the big answer for that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I have a small question, because I don't want to forget. In Hamburg, we heard from some guys that the net height was a little bit high all the time. And it seemed to some players that it was on purpose. Can you say anything about that?
No, I don't think it was too high on purpose. But the thing was, on Saturday, we had so extremely a lot of matches that the sand went out of the court. They didn't prepare it quite well on Saturday. So then you think that the net was too high. But when we started in the beginning of the day, it was perfect. But then the sand went out. And there was nobody for the maintenance. So we changed that on Sunday, and then it was totally good.
Okay, so there was some speculation about it was too high because the rallies are longer if you have a much higher net.
No.
But that's not what you planned with that.
It was just an accident. My bad, guys, or our bad.
Okay. Yeah, it didn't change very much, I think. So that's no problem.
No.
Are there any guys, any teams that you think are especially good at King of the Court? Are there do you have a favorite King of the Court team at the moment?
I don't know if I have a favorite, but I know that, look, side-out teams are, of course, very good in this side-out game. But I like it. You saw the Swedish guys in Utrecht?
Yeah, sure.
Arman and Elvik. I'm following them for the last 1.5 years, something like that. We collaborate a little bit with them because I like their style. They have that jump set, the Swedish jump set. And those guys are physically very strong. And I like it for them that they showed the world finally, what's in it for them. Because in the last qualification tournaments, in the World Tour events this year, it was bad luck for them. They were 2 or 3 times against the number one of the list, and then you're not going to reach the main draw. So now they had a chance, so I like it for them. But what about Marco Krattiger and Maurice Pristout? Hey, like Maurice was serving all the time aces, and their side-out game was excellent, eh?
Although they don't play together usually, but they didn't care. But Marco also said he just searched the best server he found, and he found Moritz, and that was really cool.
Yeah.
Marco's in a lot of finals also with King of the Court, right? He seems to have a clue what he's doing there.
But only since last year, because he was last year with Florian, and he also played in 2018. And the first tournament in Hawaii he played, he was out after 15 minutes.
Yeah, he played 15 minutes in the whole tournament, I heard.
And then we played Huntington Beach the week after, and there he injured his toe. So he was playing very well, but then he injured his toe. Then he could not play anymore. And Robert Meusen was replacing him together with Nico Behler at that time.
Yeah, so not all the time in the final.
Not all the time, but the last 2 years, he is there in the final. Eh? Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever get feedback or reply from players who said, okay, this is just not for me. Don't call me again ever. I don't like this. I can't do this. Or I just really don't like it.
I don't know, actually. I think Phil Dellhauser told me once, Wilco, I don't know if my body is made for this game. Yeah. But the week after he was there, so I don't know if that's
if it's counting. But how do you actually get the players? Because you have a lot of World Tour quality there all the time, and started with it also. Like when you say Samuel Osmedin was there for your first event, and those other guys. How do you get the players to play your tournaments?
We had a lot of good contacts, and those. Context. Look, in 2018, we invited 20 or 25 teams to play with us and travel with us around the world. We did a tournament in Utrecht the day after in Hamburg. Then we took the plane to Hawaii and then to Huntington Beach. So at that time, I was together with players, with like the men players, the male players. We were together for 3.5 weeks. And in those 3.5 weeks, you really start to know each other. Eh? And we had dinners in restaurants. We went surfing in Hawaii. We went to the baseball game in LA all together. And from that moment onwards, I think that a lot of players got a good connection with us and we with them. And the word is spread very quick. And then they saw our tournament in Utrecht. So this year, there were even more players who contacted us and said, we want to play. It's right that we have the best players of the world, and they like it a lot. And it's because of the connection what we have with them. Yeah.
Okay. Wilco, Thank you so much for this episode. It was a lot of fun and very informative also. So thank you for that. We will see each other next year probably in Hamburg then.
Yeah, hopefully.
And it's always on my podcast, it is always that the guest gets the last say. So if you have anything to say, just this is your chance for a huge audience. So just for my podcast followers. And that's goodbye from me. And thank you, Wilco.
Thank you very much. And my last words are that I appreciate it a lot that people are giving us a chance in Germany. And I think we paid it back. And hopefully we will see each other next year.